Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. It might be hard to remember what day it is, but hopefully you can at least work out what time it is right now. I'm Chris Medland, and let me first start with a caveat that this is not a podcast. At least it's not meant to be, so I'm going to call it the podcast that is not a podcast, because I know everyone's setting up pods right now. Everyone's got loads of spare time on their hands, and they all think that they're going to be a great podcaster, so I'm not doing that. But this is basically a spin-off of last week's roundtable we did on racer.com. I did with Marshall Pruitt and Kelly Crandall, and I asked some questions on Twitter, and we got through a grand total of one of those in last week's pod. So I figured I'd just get round to answering the rest of them today. And don't worry, you don't have to put up with just my voice for it, because I've roped in the finest replacement ESPN has ever had on its F1 website in the form of Nate Saunders. So welcome, Nate.
Wow, what an intro. The finest replacement. I mean, there's only been about three people on the website in its history, so I'll take it. I'm glad you got the intro right on the 15th take, Medders. I've been sitting here for an hour, guys, listening to... He nailed it in one. It was great.
You could have gone with that. I wouldn't have really had a comeback. But thanks. It was well scripted. Can you also please explain the in-joke as to why you are the finest replacement ESPN has ever had on its F1 website?
Well, so the rumour has it that the man who left ESPN before I took that job was a little-known journalist by the name of Chris Medland, who now works for Racer magazine and has been on all sorts of other shows and websites since. But it's a scurrilous rumour. I don't think it's true.
No, it is true, actually. But as you said, I just hopped around.
It's been so long ago, I can't remember, when I ousted you from ESPN.
Yeah, it was a cunning plan. It came off well. But I've already been on the ESPN podcast, and I figured, well, Nate did such a rubbish job at hosting that, I'll pretend to be host this week. But that was a lot of fun. There is no pooch pouch, as there was in that, but anyone who wants to find that podcast can find that. Now, I've interrupted Nate doing some socially distant drinks via video call to get him to join me on this. So it's only fair that I've joined him in having a drink too. But that's as fair as I'm going to be, because I've not told Nate any of the topics or questions in advance for this podcast. Not one.
Yeah, and I'm worried about that.
Well, you shouldn't be. These are all questions that came in on Twitter last week. They were timeless ones, which is why I have them in front of me again. And we're just going to see what fans wanted to talk about, really. And we might answer the question, we might not, because Nate and I have a habit of going down some rabbit holes and talking rubbish, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm convinced I'm going to do that 9 times over in this podcast. But hey, right, let's see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what. First question's coming at you. Are you ready? You're on the edge of your seat.
I can see. I literally am.
He's leaning forward. It's like in Top Gear when they tell you your lap time. That's what you're doing. I'm not taking this seriously. Yeah. Anyway, first question came in from Aaron Bearden, who said, with all these tours launching their own esports series to work through at this time, why not run something together or promote driver crossovers? Now, Nate, I know you love esports. You're such a fan of watching all of the events that are on. Tell everyone your opinion.
Well, first of all, I agree with that suggestion. I wrote, I'm going to plug something. It's the only time I'm going to plug ESPN content.
Plug away.
I wrote 5 creative ideas F1 should consider for 2020, if we get the season running, of course. And one of them is to incorporate esports in with Formula One. Now, I'm not 100% sold on esports. I think there's way too much of it. And I've never really been into watching other people do it. But the reach of it is incredible. And I think that incorporating some form of esports into a race weekend, it just seems like a no-brainer. We already have Formula 2, Formula 3 races, and those are important for Formula 1. But I think in terms of the event of a weekend, having big names taking part in stuff that people might find more entertaining and isn't always as serious as a world championship race. You know, this weekend, for example, Ben Stokes, cricketer, you know, we're both English. We actually sat next to each other, didn't we, watching the World Cup final. The fact he's taking part in that event with a bunch of drivers is really cool, and I want to watch it for that reason. And getting drivers involved in that kind of way, I think, would be a big part of race weekends. So I think it would mean that the focus isn't just on the Grand Prix. The Grand Prix is obviously the main event. There's no harm having other little events around it that kind of hype the main event itself. So I'd be all in favour of that.
Nice. I am absolutely going to be a massive fanboy this weekend watching Ben Stokes. Never have a favourite driver. Everyone asks those questions, but Sunday, definitely a favourite driver, Ben Stokes. But the question actually was, because, you know, you didn't hear the question, right? No, you did. I asked for your opinion. But the question that came in was whether it would be better to run something together or promote crossovers, which I think would be a good thing to see, because we've got, like you say, there are loads of events going on right now, some of them very cool, and a lot of the drivers are doing all of them, but in some we've got sim races and some we've got just the drivers from that category. But if you look at what F1's done, what IndyCar's done and what NASCAR's done, they're all trying to do their own individual official event as well, and in those you don't get any crossover. And I think between them, once those are established, a crossover event could be pretty cool, maybe the top five or six from each category.
Yeah, sorry, I understand the question better now. I think there was some I basically got half of what you asked me, so I heard esports F1 weekend, but yeah, no, absolutely, and it would answer the age-old question of who has the better drivers in which series. I know it wouldn't be a perfect comparison, but fans love that. You know, Race of Champions, people always talk about seeing guys from different series in the same motor car having the same, you know, same machinery having a race. So I guess we'd have some form of knowing that at least.
Yeah, there was actually a follow-up as well, actually, that came in from Aaron, who says, with Jimmy Johnson trying out the IndyCar iRacing event, who else would you like to see make a crossover? So which driver would you like to see in which category?
Is this talking purely esports, or is it just in general?
I'm going with esports, yeah. We're talking esports, because let's not be sad by the fact that there's no real racing happening right now.
So I'd like to see, we know that Max Verstappen and Lando are kind of the two premier gamers. I'd like to see them going up against IndyCar guys. You know, I think that we've seen them against esports guys, and we've seen them obviously racing in Formula One. So it'd be fascinating to have a third kind of thing to compare them against of IndyCar guys racing on maybe IndyCar circuits or configurations that they're more familiar, that those guys are more familiar with than them. Because I think if you put Lewis Hamilton in a race, I'm never sure how good the comparison would be, because they don't really game that much. And I think it's quite a different, I think you tweeted about this earlier, that it's actually a very different discipline to do gaming compared to racing. And so Max and Lando, I'd say, because of how good they are at both, it'd be interesting to see them go across. What about you? Which guys would you say?
I want to see Kyle Larson come and do some F1.
Yeah, that would be mega.
Yeah, so some a backstory here. Myself and Nate and Lawrence from ESPN as well went to Texas Motor Speedway 2017, I think it was, end of 2017, and we saw a bit of NASCAR racing. And we decided we were going to pick a favourite driver just to really get into it. And I went for Kyle Larson because he was taking the outside line and thrashing everyone that weekend. So it was a lot of fun. And he just seems cool. I reckon he'd come and just have a laugh. So I want him in the F1 race.
And he was the bad guy that weekend, right?
You're thinking of the Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin.
Oh, Chase Elliott, sorry. Yeah. I knew someone who one of us was rooting for was kind of being booed all weekend. I couldn't remember who it was.
That was Lawrence going for Chase Elliott because of the Hooters car.
That's right. But the NASCAR guys going over, that would be a good way of, you know, like a soft way of them getting into F1 or IndyCar racing as well. So it's a good shout. Maybe one of the Bush brothers as well. You know, a bit feisty on track. I don't know how translates over to esports, might be the same.
Yeah, we do need some more scraps, actually. I think it did get feisty in one of the NASCAR esports events recently, so that's definitely something we need more of. Everyone's taking it to, they're having too much fun with it. Let's get some spice in there. But yeah, so some crossovers would be good. Now, speaking of there being too much stuff, as you said, another question came in from a guy called Carl Brown, who said, would racing as a whole be more popular if there were fewer series and types of it? So IndyCar, F1, NASCAR, all the different sports car series, there's so many, and says if each NFL division had its own version of football with different rules, and then football was in NFL would be less popular, which is true. I mean, we are in the UK, so we talk soccer a bit more, but I can see you've got Bubba Gump's shirt, Forrest Gump's on your wall right now. But yeah, with the NFL, that's true. If they were all playing to different rules and they were different sports you were following, it would be hard to keep up. So I can see the argument.
I get it. It's hard to say, isn't it? Because a lot of it's localized. So obviously in America, like you say, NASCAR, there's no, you don't really get NASCAR fans in Europe, but you do in America. And I think that Formula One is clearly way, you know, much more popular in Europe than it might be in North America. So it's difficult to say. I think that probably if there was more crossover events, as we were talking about with the esports, that might help just purely get the names of people and the status of people a bit higher. Because obviously most people know Lewis Hamilton. Beyond that, in terms of racing, your casual fan probably doesn't know that many current racers, especially if you ask them to name a a racing driver from three different series, I don't think most people would even stand a chance of doing that. Whereas if you, I'm trying to think of a perfect example off the top of my head, but there's not really one, but you could probably name three people from different NFL teams. And I guess NFL is, you know, the way that's marketed, I know that it's, I know that's not exactly what the question was saying, but I think if there was more crossover, then maybe that would be the way to make it more popular. But less racing, for a racing fan, you'd have to watch what was on. But I don't think for a casual fan, that would make much difference, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because it is, if you think the casual fan would come into the headline events of any sport, really. And we did the same, don't we? When we got time, you watch the headline races. The follow-up question that Carl asked was, if you were appointed worldwide racing czar, would you whittle it down? And if so, how? And I don't think I would whittle it down, but I do think what I'd change is have an overall governing body that was in charge of all motorsport. And I know you've kind of got the FIA, but you know they don't run IndyCar and that sort of thing. And if you could get that so the calendars matched a bit better, and then the flexibility was there for more crossovers, like you said, I think that could help boost the popularity. Good, you're nodding.
Yeah,
I like that.
Well, I agree 100%. And what I'd add to it is that while we're comparing to American sports and stuff, one great thing they do in NBA and kind of in NFL with the Pro Bowl, but they have all-star games. And obviously there is the Race of Champions, but it's just this standalone event that runs on its own and operates away from everything else. The thing I would say is that at the end of the year, all the champions have to get together in the same race. You know, they have to do it. They can't opt out. They've got to do this. And it's around the same circuit, or they borrow each other's machinery, something like that. Something that fans can watch and is fun, but is also quite competitive as well, because these guys ultimately want to be the best in the world.
Yeah, that's true. There used to be Race of Champions, which obviously doesn't happen every year, but also doesn't involve every single winner. So yeah, it would have been like the perfect version of that. I like your thinking.
I'm pretty sure Lewis hasn't done the Race of Champions, has he? As an example of that. So if you made him compete, I think immediately you'd have more eyeballs on that.
Very true. And maybe not this year, though, because the calendar looks a bit of a mess right now, which we will get onto. One of the early ones is Fraser Masefield, who used to work at ESPN on ESPN F1.
Yeah, I'm asked,
will the hiatus allow or encourage other teams to develop their own DAS? Knowing teams may be back at the factory in a few weeks, but with nobody knowing when the season may resume, could that happen? Red Bull developed their own double diffuser in response to the Braun one and almost caught them up back in 2009. I'm going to jump in before I let you. Basically, I think if they were going to, teams are less likely to now because they've got this section where they can't be working on it because of the shutdown. They don't have the money coming in to work on it, but they also are now in lockdown for a longer period than we would have had if it was just August. And it's been outlawed for 21, as it was originally, but it means there's not a long-term gain to be had with it. And if we're going to have a shorter season, it's going to be harder. You're just not getting the same returns. So I think it's actually less likely to encourage teams to do it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, in pre-season, Mattia Binotto said, didn't he, it would take until mid-season to implement DAS on a car. And that was talking when we had a 22-race season as it was laid out before the coronavirus pandemic. So now you're talking about much less actual time. So I don't actually think you probably wouldn't get it on the car you might get it for a handful of races. And really, is that worth it? Unless you really think you're going to be in a championship fight at the end of the year, probably not. So I'd agree with you.
Cool. Look at us agreeing. Oh, friends.
I know, right? Two in a row.
Let's disagree on this next one. Trey Shuttlesworth asks, while this has already had drastic effects on the 2020 race calendars, how could the coronavirus pandemic affect the way the series modify their 2021 calendars? We've seen a bit with F1, haven't we, that they talked about potentially going into January with the 2020 season. I don't think we're going to see a full-on super season in terms of it. I think if it goes into 2021, we'll still have a proper 2021 season after it. But it's certainly happening with WEC. They put out the dates of Le Mans today in the Times for that, and how that's going to... They're looking at March, I think, to start their next season next year. But again, that's all they're having to wait. So I heard that, Nate. You just put your beer can down loudly. Less of that.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to put it down really, really gently.
I know, that's why I picked you up on it. I do think it could affect them, yes. I think it would be surprising if it didn't, just because everything's going to be so late this year.
Yeah, I think the only change there might be is if we get experimental weekend formats like they're talking about, whether that actually impacts the thinking about future seasons. So I don't think it will. I agree with you. I think a super season in F1, it'd be really difficult to convince a race to host an event in the same championship year. I feel like you'd really need to sell that quite hard to especially if they're paying a lot already to be at the end of the season, to say, oh, you know, your event in 2020 is actually the same season as your next event. I don't see how that would work. So, but it might well, we shorten this weekend as we're doing. I think it will give F1 a lot of lessons of what we do. So that is actually going to have a bigger impact going forward than anything else we're going to see. What I'd love to see them do, two races a weekend. I think our colleague Ben Hunt suggested, was it three races at the French Grand Prix? Stuff like that. Yeah. That's the best way to make up the calendar. Yeah, exactly. And I think that is actually what they should do with this season, is just basically use it as a test bed for the rest of the decade, basically, and say, right, we're going to try this. If it doesn't work, you know, people are going to be pretty starved for racing by the end of the year. So I think that if it doesn't work, people are still going to watch it and they're still going to enjoy it, because we've had this huge spell where we haven't had any racing.
Well, then I'm going to throw a question in that's from me. About, I know there was a story from Silverstone yesterday, actually, that was saying that they thought it wasn't so stupid when they were asked, I think it was on a Sky interview that they did, that they could potentially run the circuit in reverse just to have two races in the weekend. Now, that's not easy at a lot of places, because just runoff areas and the way you configure a circuit, but let's forget all that and let's have way more fun with it. What's the venue that is on the F1 circuit on the calendar right now that you'd like to see run in reverse? You're only allowed one.
Spa-Francorchamps.
I knew you were going to say Spa.
Sorry, I know it's the easy one to do, but it's just so good. You're right about the runoffs. I saw somebody had done the British Grand Prix in reverse on a game, and while it looks cool, the way it's built, I don't think you'd actually get any overtaking, because the way the circuit flows in the correct way around, there's certain places to overtake, but those are then kind of negated when it's in reverse. But Spa, you'd have, I think the effect of Eau Rouge would still be the same, because you'd still have a long way up to La Source, and then you'd have that would be fascinating to see how that would all play out. And it's such a long circuit as well, and I guess seeing it backwards would just be crazy. But I know I picked the one that's easy to say. Monza backwards would be quite interesting as well, because like from the other way, barely any corners, you could run it easily.
Yeah, I think I was going to say that would probably work simply, but it would be very similar to the original Monza. I was racking my brain for another answer, because I would have said Spa if you hadn't. And I'm thinking Suzuka, because
uphill, that's a good
into a chicane. So that would be a bit Mickey Mouse, admittedly. But then you've got 130R would be, it's not much of a challenge anymore anyway. But Spoon, when you got there, you'd have been on a long run to Spoon. That would be difficult at high speed arriving there. Then you'd be arriving at high speed again for the hairpin. So that would be a big braking zone and error bit. And then the S's downhill would be awesome. So I'm going to go in reverse.
Yeah, the S's downhill would be mega. I like that a lot.
There we go. There we go. We're fixing F1 as we go. Moving on. Question from Just Rocks, which is one of your favourite topics, Nate. Tyres. But it is a good question, actually, that you know probably people aren't answering. But it says, realistically, what is this going to do to the whole 2021 tyre change if teams aren't able to do much testing? And I think Pirelli have canned tyre testing this year, but not officially yet canned the 2021 tyres. But I'm pretty certain with no car changes, it's going to be no tyre changes.
Yeah, it would be a pretty brave call to stick with the tyre change and not the car change. I think you can assume that everything is just being pushed as far back as it can be, and tyres obviously is a key part of that. And it would also be unfair. It would be unfair on the teams, but it would be unfair on Pirelli as well to make them bring in a tyre change for cars that they weren't meant to be on. So I think that it's fair to assume that as far back as the regulation change goes, that's as far back as the Pirelli stuff goes as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the way they handle it, and only sensible way. I mean, Christian Horner was saying about pushing back the regs to 2023, wasn't it? Or 2022? No, 2020. Why can't I do maths? 2023, yeah.
we're journalists. We work in words. We don't work in numbers. I struggle with them as well.
Thanks, mate. Good save.
I'm going to quickly put you on the spot, Meadows. What do you think about? Do you think it'll end up being 2023? Because I can see a very good argument for that. as much as it's painful to say it, because we've been so excited for these regulation changes, but given where F1 is, it seems like a sensible decision to make.
Yeah, I just don't think they need to make it that soon, because they've outlawed aerodynamic testing until 2021. So I'd like to think you could just, there's other aspects you could develop, but realistically, I think it would be fine to wait a few months and see how this does evolve. And if, you know, basically the state that we do find ourselves in 3 months or 4 months, then you can go, okay, we're going to push them back to 23. That's fine, because again, you won't have been able to start work. I do see the argument. I do understand it. At some point, you're going to be spending that money, but under a budget cap, hopefully. So I think it's just sensible to at least have that discussion. But it's going to be the smaller teams, I imagine, that are the ones that really need the help there. And if they say in September time, yeah, we definitely need another 12 months to get our finances in shape, then great, push it back to 23. But I don't know if that might be a call too early, if they made that call in the next month and said, right, we'll push it back to save everyone. And then, you know, how do we know how the pitch will be looking in 6 months' time? So, yeah, I think there's a bit of time there to make that call. I enjoyed being on the spot. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good, right? And you handled it. I thought you were going to crumble under pressure, but you did annoyingly very well. So,
Dutch courage. I was ready for it. I knew you were going to swoop in. You just had that look about you that you're going to try and derail this podcast. I won't let that happen, Nate Saunders. But we are nearly done with questions. We've got a couple more to go. You'll be pleased to know, and then you can get back to your socially distant drinking.
I just want to point out beforehand that I've only had the beer that I'm currently drinking. I've not come in here on the back of like a 5-beer session, just to clarify to anyone listening who thinks I've been pulled away from a virtual pub session.
I had 5 in the 10 minutes before we started this, thinking I was catching you up to get to the same level.
Oh, really? So, I did wonder, you've got, so I can see Meadows and he's just got the beer sweats, just completely covered in sweat.
It's actually warm in here. Actually, I shut the window to keep the sound down and it's warm.
It's actually revolting to look at. I'm glad we're wrapping up in a minute.
Well, this is why this is all right, only for all of the listeners. Also, it is a joke. We are only one beer each. It does explain the terrible audio quality and terrible content that we are giving you right now, but never mind. Stick with us because we're nearly done. Next question comes in from someone who does know us and probably will be listening just for that reason, because he's being nice. It's Peter over in the US in San Francisco. Who actually asked this question last week when Bernie had been speaking to Reuters. But his comments about the 2020 season and when Bernie Eccleston said he would have just cancelled it all, and, you know, we'll come back in 2021. How do we rate those comments? Are they constructive criticism, Nate?
Well, I think it's Bernie having fun being a guy who can say that about Liberty Media. You know, he's not really shied away from making those kind of comments before. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got Bernie saying that, and then you have Chase Carey saying, we still want to put 15 to 18 races on. And my opinion would be that slap bang in the middle of that is where we probably will end up being, maybe slightly more towards what Chase said. And I think we actually spoke about this when that actually happened, was Chase obviously has to answer to shareholders, and you can't just say, hey, we're not going to have a season for obvious reasons from a business perspective. And Bernie, you know, is sat at home in Brazil, is kind of like, all right, well, I'm going to stick the knife in here while I can. I think there's definitely a chance of there not being a season, just given the unpredictability about things. But you can imagine that when he was on the phone doing that interview, there's a big grin on his face, because he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he ran the sport for so long. He absolutely knew what those quotes would do, how they'd come across. So, and to be honest, from our perspective, there's not much news around at the moment. So I thought it was great. I thought it was a good thing to read.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, Bernie ran it for so long. I imagine he would be desperate to run it again normally, but right now he must be delighted he's not in charge, because he can say things like this, doesn't have those headaches to deal with. He's getting busy, apparently. Reports in various media that he's going to be a father again at the age of 89 in the summer. So congratulations on that. Realistically, it's
living the dream, is that? I don't know.
On a farm in Brazil. But no, to be fair, I mean, Bernie did a lot of good for F1, as much as he also had some crazy ideas as well in the Helmut Marko camp sometimes. But he's just taken advantage, like you say, that he's not got the ties. He can say this. He can make some headlines in this spell, but he can also kind of make life a bit more difficult from the people that have essentially ousted him from his job. But I'm with you. I don't I don't see that being sensible at all. This is a business that needs events to run. There's no way you can just cancel the season. Like you say, it might not happen, but you can't just cancel it.
You can't in the middle of March say, okay, season's off, because for all we know, you know, in a month things could turn around. There could be solutions that could be found. I can imagine Chase Carey reading those and just like, come on, man, I didn't. Yeah. All the things I needed, this wasn't it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see how Bernie, I would have loved to have seen this situation play out just from an F1 perspective with Bernie still in charge, because I think it would have gone a lot differently, just the way he ran things. It would have been fascinating to see.
Yeah, I think a lot of people might be right that probably Australia would have gone ahead. He'd have powered through. He'd have done something like get McLaren, like the way he controlled teams. I think he would have been like, right, get McLaren to stay quiet on their result, or, you know, to he find some incentive to make sure they didn't pull out or threaten them, you know, just find a way of just making sure that they stayed part of the grid and they would power on. And then afterwards, maybe their hand was forced, but he would have tried to make that event happen, I think, to show that F1 basically can deal with it better than anyone else. But eventually, I think the right call was made in Melbourne. It just took a while. That feels ages ago, but that was only 3 weeks ago.
I know, yeah. It's crazy, isn't it, how things have gone? Because we would have been, talking about the Vietnamese Grand Prix, had things been normal. And that's not that long removed from Australia, like you say. So, but it feels like about a year since Australia.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this on Friday evening UK time, which is why we have a beer in hand. It's the end of the week. We're allowed one. It's not, you know, we're not doing this at 9 a.m. on a Monday. But this would have been practice day at Vietnam, which should have been exciting and new. And instead, we are all in lockdown. Whee! But last question is very US focused, which is a good one because you're ESPN. I am Racer right now. So it comes in from Simon Strang, who is not US based. He is he works for Aston Martin here in the UK. But Strangy says, how about the venue in America that you would most like to replace COTA if the Grand Prix dropped off the bill?
That's a tough one. Thing is, I wouldn't want, first of all, I wouldn't want COTA to drop off the bill. That would be the first thing I'd say. Is
agreed.
I think COTA is such a good place for the US Grand Prix. It's, you know, it's a purpose-built circuit. It's built a good legacy there and effectively has saved Formula One in terms of racing out there, because there were no other circuits that could step up. If someone had to take it, it definitely wouldn't. I would say definitely not the race in Miami that they're planning, because I actually went to Miami to the stadium to watch a Miami Dolphins game a couple of years ago. And I couldn't imagine there being good racing there. I think it would be, I don't know. I think the problem with that race would be that they would have gone there for the name Miami rather than the strength of the venue. So for me, it would be to go back to Indianapolis, race there again, and basically undo the damage from the last time they went to Indianapolis, and somehow try and race alongside the Indy 500, do something like that. Just something. We were talking about crossovers earlier. I know that that's not ideal with Monaco, but they occupy the whole month of May in Indy. There must be some way you could cross promote those two events by racing out there at the same time. I know that's quite a boring answer, but on the spot, I reckon about 10 minutes after this interview's finished, I'll be like, I've got about five now. I'd say the Grand Prix circuit, obviously not the oval, but what they used to race. In Formula One. I just think that'd be a good opportunity there. The oval would be mad, but I don't know if F1 fans would watch an oval race.
I think they would, but they watch it.
IndyCar, if it was on,
because it's Formula One. I think they'd probably have the appetite for it, but alongside an F1 race. Yeah. I see your point.
That one's really stumped me. That was me kind of trying to think on the spot and not doing a very good job.
So it's not your strongest.
I'm sure you could tell that.
Yeah.
No, it's not at all. And I really crumbled under the pressure there. I'm sure. Sorry.
It's a shame that this is audio only, because Nate is, well, one, you shouldn't be touching your face in these times, Nate, but he has his head in his hands because he's trying to work out what to do.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to go with an answer. And if you come up with another one in the meantime, you can. And there's also a second question that you can have more fun with. But my answer would be Laguna Seca. Just because it's cool. It's California as well. And I think we should have a race in California. I think that would be a really good place, seeing F1 cars on the corkscrew. To be fair, I mean, it might not make for great racing, but then very few circuits do. But I'm with you as well. Don't want COTA to drop off. Really hope that everything comes together there still. But if there was to be just a random circuit that was available now, Road America would also be cool, but I'm going to go with Laguna Seca. Mm. But unless you've had a brainwave of another venue, the follow-up question was, it's not necessarily realistic, but what would be your ultimate fantasy US Grand Prix venue?
So you just mentioned it. So Road America, I think there's, I don't know how good the racing would be there, but it's such a great, that is a great circuit. And to race there would be, in theory, would be great. But again, you never, when you see a circuit like, you see it on a game or something, or you see onboards of it, you can never quite work out how good it would be in Formula One. But Road America would be interesting, and it would be very different to a lot of circuits that F1 races on. So I'd probably say that. Laguna Seca would be great as well, but Road America, I'd take Road America over Laguna Seca just because the unknown factor, I guess you wouldn't know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah.
Road America is what I should have said for the last one as well, or Laguna Seca. So,
but I like your concept. Well, then, so we could say your ultimate fantasy USGP concept would be to have a double header with the Indy 500 at Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think that would work, because we were talking about crossovers earlier. And I think one of the issues that we have in racing is that, and this is doubling back to an earlier question, but every series tries to be like fiercely independent, which I don't think is a bad thing. But at the same time, there needs to be some crossover to appeal to the general racing fan. And the thing with some of the circuits we're talking about, each of them have an appeal to different fans. There's different, you know, an F1 fan wouldn't necessarily know much about Road America. And, you know, I suppose a NASCAR fan would know about COTA, but they wouldn't be as familiar with racing there as a Formula One fan would be. And crossing those things over and getting people talking about different circuits that host different races, I don't think that's a bad thing there at all.
No, I agree with you on that point. I'm also going to throw in my ultimate fantasy venue, because I'm a big fan of Chicago and I want to go and see the Cubs at every opportunity. So I reckon the Chicago race downtown along the lake. I think, is it Lakeshore Drive that it's got? And then I couldn't tell you the exact route, but it would have to go, you know, through the loop a bit. It'd be awesome. Like cars going underneath the L. I think that would look really cool. And you could get, you know, a helicopter out on the lake.
That would look great.
Cars coming, flying along the side of the lake, and it would be a cool backdrop. So I'm going for the Chicago Downtown Grand Prix as my ultimate fantasy USGP venue. Have that.
I like that. The Medland Chicago Grand Prix. And would you finish, you'd finish at Wrigley, right? I'm guessing.
Oh, no, I'd just be at Wrigley the whole time. I wouldn't be watching the race. I'd be at the baseball.
So, for anyone listening, I can vouch for that. But we went to Chicago on a road trip, and within the first day, we were sat at Wrigley Stadium watching a baseball game, which was great. I'm not complaining about it, but it was amazing how quickly we ended up at baseball.
Well, we were away for just over 2 weeks, I think, or about 2 weeks, and we got 3 games in at Wrigley.
Yeah,
we did well.
It was fantastic. It's a great play. I'd say anyone, baseball fan or not, you should go, 100%. Yeah.
When we're allowed outside again. Anyway,
yeah, on that
note of missing the wider world, we're going to wrap it up because that's all our questions. And it's 7 o'clock here, and I'm told that's when I should finish. So, Nate, thank you very much for joining me via
wonders
of the internet. You can get back to your virtual pub now.
It's not quite the same, is it, as a usual pub?
No, it's a lot more calm and cheaper, actually. But a bit quieter.
Getting a round in's a bit easier.
A bit less
hassle in London, getting your own round in. But other than that, not great.
And you get started on less, which is helpful as well. So,
Well, you'd be surprised. My housemates just keep starting on me. Yeah, so must be something about me.
I wasn't going to say anything, mate. But yeah. Anyway, I'll let you get back to apparently getting beaten up by your housemates. And for everyone else, I think the message is stay home, stay safe. And as Nate is, it's stay home and try and stay safe from the sounds of it. That has been the podcast that is not a podcast. And hopefully that was informative and a bit of fun. We might do it again at some point. Don't know if I'll use Nate again, because frankly, he's rubbish. But if there's more questions that come in at some stage, we've got time on our hands. So readracer.com, readespn.com/Formula1. Or F1, not the rest of the website. I can't plug a whole website like that. Hopefully we'll be back with you soon, either answering your questions and very soon, hopefully, getting back to some normal racing. Thank you very much.